glad.
I'm very glad too. I don't know what I'm doing here. I am the Emperor of the known galaxy. And I sit here in front of a microphone wishing all of you to listen to voices that cook.
Yes, thank you, Sheev. I very much appreciate that. And for those of you who don't know, yes, that is Emperor Palpatine's first name. It is Sheev. He is Sheev Palpatine of Naboo, trained by Darth Plagueis. And no, he did not come back to life in The Rise of Skywalker. I still try to put parts of that movie out of my head. There are some fun parts. There are some fun parts. That's a whole that's a whole episode for another time. But today, we're not going to talk about Star Wars. Well, we can talk Star Wars, but just not The Rise of Skywalker, at least right now. But we are here to talk.
I'm over here rubbing my hands. Let's go. No.
Oh, like we could probably, we could even do that after the show if need be.
Yeah, totally.
But we are here to do a show called Voices That Cook, which is a show where I, William Nunn, the host of the show, talks to voice actors who also like to cook. And not only do I have a very special guest on today, but this is also the 10th episode. Y'all have been sticking around for 10 episodes. I am so glad you're here.
Wow!
And this is my very good friend Kelsey on the show, and I am so happy to have you on. And
hello!
I'm
happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being on here. And I'm trying to remember, there was a post that you had shared at one point. There was this really delicious looking meal, and part of my brain is like, that looks really delicious, even though I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head. But I was like, oh, I should invite her on the show because I've wanted to collaborate with you on something for a little while now. And now I get to actually do something, which is on this show.
Yeah. Oh, what was that? I'm trying to remember, like, I was thinking about this earlier, and for some reason, I thought it was when I had said something about having eaten sea urchin before, and that was when you reached out. But I don't know. It could have been some random food I made, too, because I do post about that sometimes.
Whatever it was, it looked delicious enough to make me go, I have to have her on.
Yay! I'm so glad.
And before anyone goes, oh, does that mean my food has to look so pristine and so good that that will make you want to have me on? No. It just made me see that Kelsey likes to cook and she's a voice actor. So it lines up with my desired criteria. So that just works it out nicely. And of course, I wanted an excuse to have her on a show or anything because I've wanted to for a little bit. You're very talented and very awesome.
Thank you. Likewise.
I am going to try to stop my throat from going grrr over all the gushing I'm doing. So why don't we go back to the tracks here? Throat. Go back to the. Oh gosh, I went into Odysseus Claw there for a second. Here we go.
Do what you gotta
do. I'm also
do.
Really
Listen,
toasty
let
in
it
this
out.
Attic.
Yeah, me too. It's humid. Not in the booth, and therefore it is very humid in the booth currently.
Oh, yes. But let's begin with me asking you my question. I usually ask off the top with most of my guests. What got you into voice acting, my friend?
Whew. Honestly, when I was little, I was like, I could make really good animal noises. And I could like mimic people's voices really well. And like, when I was in preschool, I did 2 years of preschool before kindergarten, and we had this like Christmas pageant every year. And I remember wanting to be an angel so badly because they got to like wear a cool dress and wings, and they got to stand at the top riser of these risers we performed on. But I could make a really good donkey noise, so I was always the donkey. I cannot still make that noise. I've tried. I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe I can. But, you know, puberty and all that. I don't think my donkey's as good as 4-year-old Kelsey's donkey was. But, yeah. And then, I don't know. I just, like, was always, my one friend and I, when we were growing up, would always talk to each other in, like, little baby voices.
Like, kind of like this?
Like, just for fun. And I remember her mom would get so annoyed with us. She'd be like, stop talking in baby voices. And I never realized that that could be, like, an actual thing until I was, like, in college, and my university had a guest adjunct professor who taught a commercial voiceover class. And I was like, oh, I think that's what I want to do. And I took it, and then I was like, okay, this was amazing and so informative. We made, like, baby's first demo. Mine sucked, and I will never show anyone. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I left that class being like, okay, now what about, like, the stuff I really, really, really want to do, which is, like, character work. And then I just kind of kept on trucking from there.
Splendid.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I guess my first voices I actually got good with were Forrest Gump, Yoda, and it took me a long time to do Gollum correctly, but
ooh.
I did get around to it.
Am I going to get to hear an example of any of these?
Well, all you got to do is I ask, or I could just ask Jenna and say maybe she'd be able to do that, because otherwise won't be able to go over there to the bubblegum shrimp boat.
When you said boat, I already was sold, but when you said boat, that really sold me.
I've watched Forrest Gump so many damn times.
It shows. It's impressive.
I was a kid the first time I saw Forrest Gump, but it wasn't till, I don't know, maybe 2 years after I saw it for the first time, where I realized, I think I ruined our roommate's bathrobe. I figured out what that meant.
You're like, oh, wait.
Oh,
Oh.
Junior high me going, okay, that makes more sense.
Junior high epiphany.
I know. We were all learning at that time. But Yoda, I remember being a kid seeing these special edition versions in theaters. And I just thought, he sounds like Grover. He sounds like Grover.
Yeah.
That was delightful to reminisce on and just would every now and then try it out. And the next thing I know, I don't remember when I got actually good at it, but I actually got really good with it.
I had never actually, until you just mentioned it, realized that he sounded like Grover also. And then when you did it, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, first of all, great Yoda. But
thank
like,
you.
Yeah. But Yoda is truly like only like two steps away from Grover.
I don't know for certain. People can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I probably should just look it up. But I'm willing to bet Frank Oz was both.
Ooh,
I could be
okay.
wrong. I could be wrong. In fact, I am going to double check because I want to be sure. I'm pretty certain that's true, but I'm going to double check.
That is, oh my gosh.
Frank,
okay, I'm not. I saw the answer,
yep.
But I'm not going to tell you.
Yep.
I love that they were like, "Hey, we like this one specific voice you do. Can you? Which came? Okay, Yoda came first. Oh wait, no. Which came first?
And he was also the Cookie Monster and Bert. And Sam the Eagle, and Animal, and Fozzie Bear. Wait, was he also Miss Piggy?
I do know that he was Miss Piggy.
That's mind-blowing. Sure. Why did I not know that before? Holy shit.
This man. That is,
like,
wow.
I love Frank Oz, but holy shit, I did not know that.
Yeah. No, he better have gotten that three voices or more bump on his, I'm sure by the like end of when he was like really, really working with Sesame Street, he was able to just be like, all right, these are my terms, pay me those. But I really hope just starting out, he got that three, like, or is it two or three character voices or more bump on his paycheck? Because damn, Frank,
what you doing over there?
Damn, Frank.
I am Frank. I don't know what else y'all doing over there, but that's some crazy shit.
Oh, man.
I love making Forrest Gump swear sometimes, even though it's totally out of character for him. But I just...
That makes it better.
It does. Like, I love doing things that just make some characters feel... Like, it would seem kind of out of place, but just makes it really funny. And one of my favorites when I was in high school was... doing Vito Corleone, doing all around the world from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. All around the world, we can make time. Rubbing and stomping because I'm in my prime. Born from the north and sworn to entertain ya. Because I'm down with the state of Pennsylvania. Just doing that would be really fun to do.
That's like very, that's very like specifically menacing.
Yes, it is. These the dawn of the Vito of the Corleone family is about to just take over the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also like rapping at me, which feels threatening. And I'm not sure what it means, but I know that like I'm not ending up on the right side of this, whatever it is that's causing him to rap at me.
Especially during the final chorus.
I know, it's you. Ding dong bang dong, ding dong bang, bang bang.
No.
I know, it's true. Ding dong dong, ding ding dong, ding ding.
Spare me. I didn't do anything.
And I'm just now picturing just Tessio being Flea in the background, just going. That was another thing in high school I loved doing, was just playing the shit out of the Red Hot Chili Peppers on my bass. Flea was one of my big idols growing up. So
that dude is just awesome.
In fact,
a legend.
In fact, whenever I would try to do high-pitched singing, I would try to go, I would usually want to go for, like, if the Chili Peppers were ever doing harmonies, I would always try to do John Frusciante's harmonies with the whole, you know, just those sorts of things, which are really fun to do.
Oh my gosh. I'm like trying to think of what, like, cartoon voices I liked mimicking as a kid. Oh my gosh, Ash Ketchum.
Oh gosh. I'm Ash Ketchum
from Pallet Town. And then I would also be Pikachu.
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 Okay, that's actually fucking good.
Thank you. Whoa, Pikachu, cool it. I never got the Ash Ketchum, like, wah, wah. Oh, well, there it is, I guess. I'm sure people are loving listening to us do the Ash Ketchum getting electrocuted scream over and over again. You hear that? You're welcome.
No, my favorite Pokemon to voice is also my spirit animal. Which is...
Oh, what is that?
Snorlax!
I love that.
I have scared people with my Snorlax.
It is very intense. It sounds exactly like in... I think it was... Melee.
What it is! I totally peaked it. I don't care. That is exactly where that's from.
Yeah, that's like the exact like voice line.
Oh my god.
And then you knew, you were like, oh no, I'm gonna die. If you had like anything above like 60% damage, you're like, oh no.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. This actually brings me to a very fun transition. So
When I was
looking into your website to see if there'd be any things I could mention to you to talk about with stuff. I did see that you've actually done reactions on Chicago Reacts. I saw a little bit of your Payday 2 reaction. That was pretty funny.
I'm glad you liked it.
That was entertaining to see. And awesome glasses in that video, too.
Thank you.
Was there ever a Smash Brothers character that you almost wish you had a reaction video for that got announced? Like, I can't believe that character's in it.
This feels like a cop-out answer, but it is my answer. It's got to be Steve from Minecraft. I know, like, blah, blah, blah. The memes are all, like, the memes are so dead at this point. It's just, and not because I think he's a bad, like, he's a very versatile character. And, like, I understand why he would be in Smash, because, like, there's so many possibilities, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just the concept is so silly. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's have Samus fighting Steve from Minecraft. You know what I mean? And it's just the juxtaposition of it all is very funny to me. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I obviously see the reasons why he would be in there. If it was like a Minecraft villager or something, then I would be like, that's silly. Like, as the playable character. Mm-hmm. But other than that, not really.
I pretty much lost my shit when Sephiroth got added. That was...
Yeah.
Well, Cloud was a big surprise for me, too. I remember a friend of mine texting me that that had happened. And I exploded, basically. Sephiroth, I saw someone just post Sephiroth. That's all it said. Yeah. It was during the Game Awards that were going on at that point. And I thought, wait a minute. And I looked up what was going on with the show, saw it, and I guess it was a way for me to rewind it or something. I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
But then I saw the trailer. I saw him pop up after slicing the main baddie in Ultimate in half. And it's like, who else could do that other than Sephiroth? And it was. I mean, I didn't think that at the time, but I was like... once you hear the first few notes of One Winged Angel...
Oh, yeah.
You know it's him, and...
You know it's all going down.
And I could finally have Cloud fight someone else from Final Fantasy, which that in itself made me happy, too. And I've had a really good time playing him, and of course having the other Final Fantasy VII music in there is great, but...
Yeah, definitely.
But what I really wanted this all to circle back around in, one thing I really would love to have happen to me one day, and I don't know if this is something that you would aspire to, I love the fact that the game has an option to where you can go around and click on characters' lines of dialogue, and you can just keep pressing them over and over again to hear them just go like, melee, 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 melee. I would love to have that happen with me in my career at some point. Just be able to go over to where my character is and just start pressing all of my lines and to just like hit them about like a million times. Because I love when stuff like that can happen in a video game.
Yeah.
It could be really
funny. Oh my gosh, yeah. There's like an option to just be an absolute troll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even funnier too, like... I mean, that would be a good idea for streaming. Like, you as, like, the voice actor, like, just going into matches with randos and just, like, spamming your own voice lines until they figure it out. Or even if they don't, like, that would just... I think that would be a really funny idea for a stream.
I have seen someone... someone had shared with me a video of someone that was playing Overwatch, and they were doing Rick and Morty voices, and they were... so spot on to where I feel like if you didn't know this other person was so-and-so, you would have probably thought that was Justin Roiland.
Oh, my gosh.
So just having all that happen and just, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shoot you there. It's okay, Morty. You didn't mean to do that. It's fine. Just keep going. Okay, I will.
That's fun. I feel like depending on who the other people are, too, like, people would either, like, love that or they would be so annoyed. They'd be like, shut up! Which is also, I think, part of the fun.
Is there a character that you've played as that you think would be great to emulate while playing against other people and see if there was that possibility of, like, maybe people knew who that, maybe had heard that project before and, like, wait, is that her?
Ooh, like a character I've actually been in a project. Well, so I mean, it's announced. I'm not gonna like do the voice because episodes haven't been released yet, but it has been announced. I play what do I say without saying too much? I play kind of a robot-esque character in an audio drama. And I just love the voice that I've created for her. And I think it would be, it's, it's a very fun voice, and I would love to be able to just try to react in like a kind of like semi-robotic kind of way,
mm-hmm.
or even try to just do like a Siri voice. The character Ooh. Is not close to a Siri voice, but being like, "I'm sorry, something, like after you like kill a character.
That I'm sorry was spot on.
Oh, thank you. What else does Siri say?
I didn't quite get that.
Oh, let's see. I'm sorry. I didn't quite get that. I don't know. But yeah.
I was gonna say maybe sound a little less sincere and you would probably nail Siri there.
Yeah, and
Siri,
yeah, right.
Siri is very much a come on, let's do this.
yeah. Oh my gosh. I posted this on Twitter a while back, but one of my friends in high school, when I was in the bathroom at a high school theater show cast party, he took my phone and he made Siri. He changed, you know how you can be like, Siri, call me X, Y, and Z, like your name or whatever you want to say. When I was in the bathroom, he was like, he apparently tried to get Siri to call me wiener, 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 butt sweat, butt sweat. Very high school, very fun. But what Siri heard was, all right, I'm going to just say the whole thing. I have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Wiener, 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 Botswana, 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 wiener, 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 Botswana, Botswana. And that is my name, according to Siri, to this day, because it's so funny. I can't change it.
Wow. I think my favorite voice acting related bathroom story is, I heard someone that was in another spot in the bathroom, different than me. His text tone is the codec sound from Metal Gear Solid. Immediately upon hearing that, I was like, "This is Snake, Colonel. Can you read me?" And the guy on the guy that had his phone was like, "God damn it."
Listen, he has to expect that that's going to happen at some point. Or maybe that reaction is because, like, it's happened so much to him.
Yes. That was my first guess. Like, that has happened way too much. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's
I had to.
And in a
man.
Bathroom where he thinks he's safe, he's not.
Yes. But he's not safe. Not while Snake is around doing covert stealth missions and trying to stop Metal Gear.
Oh, gosh. That is so funny. I don't know if I have the courage to do that.
I can give you courage. You've got this. You've got this. Woo, woo.
Thank you. Now I'm going to go talk to a stranger in a public bathroom. Thank you for the courage.
I thought it was doing a snake voice, but talking to a person talking to a stranger in a bathroom would probably be more intimidating.
Yeah.
Hey, Snake. Snake, go talk to that person in the bathroom. Why? Because I asked you to. Okay. Snake, this is the ladies' room. Damn it, Colonel.
Oh my gosh.
That's your daughter, Colonel. Spoilers. Sorry. Sorry. For anyone who hasn't played Metal Gear Solid, I'm sorry. Please play it, though. It's great. That is one of the most inconsequential spoilers in the whole series, because there are so many spoilers in that series that are just insane. And Metal Gear Solid 2 turned 20 years old 2 days ago, which...
Oh, really?
That's insane. That is insane.
Oh,
I remember seeing that game for the first time at my cousin's place and being very intrigued. And then my brother finally borrowed a copy from someone that he knew. And he told me that his friend that let him borrow it, there's a point in the game where someone literally says in the codec, "Turn the game console off right now." He was so freaked out that he actually turned the game off.
oh my gosh. He's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, back then, that was some insane stuff to see in a video game.
Right, yeah. Groundbreaking.
Very much so. Speaking of groundbreaking, jumping into really uncharted territory, let's get into your cooking origins. What got you started in cooking, my friend?
Oh, man. I don't know. Well, my dad owns two restaurants. And so I just was always, like, when I was little, I would, like, be back. They're Italian/pizza places, which, I mean, my family is Norwegian and Pakistani, so who knows. But it's when in Chicago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But so I just would be in the back of the pizza place when I was little. Like, if my mom was working, my sister and I would be like, take us to work. And we'd just sit in the back and, like, help. Like, we would be so bored. And then we would ask the cooks if we could help them, like, prepare ingredients and, like, make the pizzas and stuff. And they were like, yeah, as long as your dad's okay with that. And so we did. And it was very fun as a child. And I don't know. My dad has always, and oh my gosh, both of my grandmas, but my grandma on my Pakistani side, like, really, really could just cook anything, like, just by memory, like, by taste. And that's the same with my dad. And I kind of feel the same way. Like, if I have made a recipe, like, once or twice before, I, like, just kind of do my thing. And baking's a little different. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really, you don't have as much wiggle room with baking because it's a more delicate thing than just, like, cooking stuff and, like, throwing it together. Of course, my cousin, who's a literal chef, would be like, no, what are you saying?
No. But, like,
he'd be like, no, stop. But, like, there's a technique to it. And he is a brilliant chef. But, yeah, just a lot of culinary people in the family. You pick it up after a while. And I feel like I'm really good at, like, having, like, two-thirds of the ingredients necessary for a recipe and just, like, figuring out good subs that make it, like, taste, if not, like, pretty close, at least, like, as good, if not different, from what the original recipe was supposed to be. So that's just a thing I like to do, kind of to relax and, you know, to have food to eat.
Very nice. I've mentioned this on the show multiple times. At some point this month, I am going to make my own pizza crust. I'm going to make a Roman pizza. That's the plan.
Cool.
But I have never made my own pizza crust before. And for a long time, I was pretty nervous about it. And the more I keep watching the same video over and over again that I'm basically emulating this recipe from, I feel a lot more brave about it, especially when I've had people encourage me more that have been on the show. I think my favorite advice that my friend Megan gave me on the previous episode, Megan Humans, who big shout out to her, who is, could ever give my Voices That Cook handle to any other person, it would be her. She is amazing at what she does. But she told me, like, you could literally beat the crap out of the dough. It won't hurt you. And I'm like,
yeah, truly.
That's comforting in a very weird way where it's like, okay, so I could literally do all this with the dough and it's not going to, like, dishevel or fight back or do anything I wouldn't want it to. And, you know, obviously there's ways you could screw up, but I feel like as long as I can get, I feel like in a lot of ways for me, if I can get the, at least maybe the first step right with the yeast and the warm water and getting it to roll up and be all shaggy. And then once that plastic wrap goes over it and you leave it to rise for a very long time, once I'm past that step, I feel like I'm going to be okay.
Yes. No, definitely. I, having seen a many a pizza dough made. Yeah, truly, it you will not hurt if it, once you've, like you said, once you've got it, like, you're letting it rise and letting it, like, just kind of be and do what it needs to do, you're truly not going to overwork it. You're not going to hurt it. If anything, it'll hurt you and, like, not do what you want it to or, like, stay. I mean, that also is probably my own pizza dough-making issues. But, like, it's not going to – you're like, there's no such thing as overworking it. Not that I've seen, really. You just kind of go to town on it.
Go to town. Go to town.
Go to town. Are you going to try to do a fancy pizza dough twirl in the air?
No. No. Fun Especially fact. Not on my first one, because if it falls to the ground, I will cry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe make like a stunt dough ball and do it with that one.
That's one of the reasons why I want to do the Roman, because at least with the Roman, I can stretch it out on my baking sheet at home. And I just need to get another one to put over it. And I can cover that up with plastic wrap and let it sit for 2 hours in room temperature and let that rise. And then during those 2 hours, I can take care of all the other ingredients, because I would like to make my own sauce, which is very easy to do, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And then maybe try to find, because I know where the already sliced pepperonis are, but I want to find the actual pepperonis that I can just slice myself.
Yeah, like a weirdly like thicker cut. I don't know. Maybe I'm a weirdo, but I like if there's pepperoni on a pizza, if it's like thicker cut, like you don't see it a lot. And maybe there's a good reason for it. But like I've made pizzas at home that like I do that. Like I buy pepperoni and I like cut it thicker. Something about like, I mean, it also depends on if you put it. Are you a pepperoni under or over the cheese kind of person?
Over the cheese.
Okay. I mean, I guess either way. Well, the fat from it, like, will melt and make the dough, like, kind of gooey-ish. If, you, like, it's thick cut and you put it underneath the cheese. But I don't know what it would do on top. I've literally only cut my own pepperoni for making pizza at home once, and I put it under the cheese. So I don't know.
I've seen my mom with already prepared crusts do where she would have sliced turkey sausage on top of the cheese, and then she would add extra cheese on top of it.
It
is a good combination, I will say that. But I do think it is a bit easier to eat it without the cheese over it, unless you let it sit for a few minutes before cutting it. That's another thing I've neglected doing sometimes, is where it's like, wait to cut it after it's been out of the oven for a couple of minutes, because you want to make sure it all starts to form together like it's a bag that needs to be zipped in, which is a weird metaphor, but you get the meaning. And I always add oregano at the very least. Always add oregano.
Yes. Oregano on top of the cheese.
I will add oregano, basil, garlic, and parsley. That's what I really like to have as my pizza seasonings.
Yum. What's your favorite like combo of pizza toppings?
Thanks to going to this really amazing Neapolitan place in Texas with my friend Kelsey Mayer. I got to have a pizza that it actually had pink sauce. I should go ahead and say that. That was very, very good. Yes. Red and white sauce mixed together to make a pink sauce.
Oh,
and it was
beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
I don't know what I thought that was going to be, but okay. I don't know if I thought it was going to be some sort of like fish sauce or something.
No. Thank goodness. No. But it was, I had pepperoni, we split it to where we had pepperoni on one side because I was wanting pepperoni and she regretted not having pepperoni. It was like, I know. chicken, mushrooms, and onion.
Yum.
Oh, and did we have sausage instead of chicken? Let me look at the picture.
Maybe it was chicken sausage.
I love chicken sausage. Oh gosh, and someone, literally someone on Instagram just posted a picture of Cajun stuffed chicken and it looks beautiful. I am sending it on Discord right now. You have to see this.
Yes, please.
Oh my goodness.
Man, as someone who ate a little Lara bar for dinner before recording this, I am now so hungry.
This had chicken on it, but usually I like sausage and pepperoni if I were to be very basic, but if I want to go all out, it's chicken, pepperoni, mushrooms, and onion. And if I can add sausage in there, cool. And with those really thick crusts like that, those Neapolitan crusts, Kelsey had the very good idea to, request mozzarella sauce so that we could dip our crusts in.
Ooh, yeah. So that's a built-in appetizer.
I will do that every single time I have a pizza.
Ooh, this chicken looks so good.
Yes!
Ooh.
I actually have had a mozzarella and pepperoni stuffed chicken breast before.
That's like a calzone inside chicken.
I know, right?
That's cool.
It's so
delicious.
It's
like a Hot Pocket made out of chicken.
It was
even better
than a Hot
Pocket. Like, what did Burger King try to do? Was that Burger King? That tried
it
to, like,
could have been
make the bun out of chicken.
Hmm.
What was that? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Popeyes?
I didn't have Popeyes for the first time until 3 years ago.
What is your opinion?
I liked it.
Yeah, same. It's good.
It's kind of hilarious when you actually decide to make fried chicken at home and it's like, wow. How is this actually better than most places I've been to?
I have actually never made fried chicken at home.
It is very fun, especially chicken parmesan. That is really, really good and fun to do. But what I find really fun with fried chicken, especially chicken strips, that's what I really love making at home, which I need to do more often. Because I keep thinking, it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to be all messy. No, it's really not. You just got to plan ahead. And if you plan ahead, you're good.
Yeah.
But what I really love about that is letting the chicken marinate for a while. And then you follow the whole dry hand and wet hand process. And you just let that chicken sit. So that way, once you've got it on the flour, on the eggs, and then on the breadcrumbs. And if you decide to do a double dip, you're welcome to do that if you want to. But I don't. I just do it like one, and then put it on the a rack that can let it rest on. And once they've all sat together and they're all nice and tidy and there's very little chance that flour is going to come off of them if I pick them up, then all you have to do is just put them in a huge thing of hot oil and you're good.
Wow.
Also, if any one of you out there loves Frank's hot sauce, please let that be part of your mixture for when you add in your buttermilk and your other seasonings to let the chicken coat in for multiple hours, because that gives it really good
flavor.
That is a
pro tip right there.
It is a fucking pro tip, and I am so happy about it. Because I thought myself, I've never been crazy about ketchup, in all honesty. I'm more of a mustard guy.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought, why not use Frank's hot sauce? And yeah, that was the winner. Because I ended up using ketchup to make sauce that's very similar to what you would have at Zaxby's, where you mix ketchup, mustard, Worcestershire sauce, and black pepper, and you just stir the shit out of it till it turns into that color. It's a great dipping sauce, and it's very easy to make. So if there's any reason to have ketchup, it's to make that sauce.
Yeah. I actually, when I was on set for a thing this weekend, we got our dinner for that day was burgers from this local place, but they made their own mustard and ketchup.
Oh.
And they were both so good. Like, so good. Like, I was like, I am actually sitting here liking ketchup right now.
You have given me
really good.
You have given me a fifth reason to visit Chicago.
Oh, I'll have to ask. I forget what it was called. We had gotten food from there before, but I did not ask what the place was called. It was like something with a D. I don't know. It wasn't DMK, which is like a big burger place on the north side that people are like, oh, artisanal burgers. But so it wasn't that place. I don't know, though.
What do you like to have?
Yeah, they may.
What do you like to have on your burger? Okay. What do you...
Scoop-a-da-boop-boop.
I don't know where that came from. What do you like to...
Your soul.
What do you like to have inside your burgers? Or really inside the buns, technically speaking. Like, do you like to have the onions, the lettuce, the mustard, and all that good stuff?
Okay. In all honesty, I am not a huge burger person.
Gotcha.
I just don't like, I don't know. I'll eat ground beef if it's in like a taco, but otherwise I'm like just not a big fan. I don't eat a ton of red meat or pork. Mm-hmm. And part of it's, you know, for the little animals and for like sustainability, but like a lot of it is also just because I don't really like it that much, except
that
for bacon.
Fair. That is fair. I can respect that.
I do love a good turkey burger, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you can get, I don't know, the flavor profiles that you can make with a turkey burger are different than a regular burger, but I think they're just as valid. I don't know if they are, but I had a turkey burger with arugula and brie and like mustard, like seeds, like mustard grains, I guess, on it. Why can't I think of what those are called? And it had mayo. It was like the buns were ciabatta buns, but they were like griddled with mayo and like then toasted. So that was really good. What else? There was something else on there. I don't remember, but that was really good. I do like, okay, if I do have just a beef burger, though, it's got to be caramelized onions and blue cheese and arugula.
We have a blue cheese fan here, ladies and gentlemen.
I love I love the stanky foods. Like, I do. Like, I love the stanky foods. I like sardines. I like pickled herring. That one I blame on being half Norwegian. I just like the stanky foods. They're pungent and they taste nice, especially when they're paired with other stuff.
You are stronger than I am.
Oh, gosh.
I tried blue cheese not too long ago, and I can definitely understand why multiple people have told me it's an acquired taste. So it's just not for me. I'm just not into that. But I do love me some ranch. I don't put ranch on my burgers, but I will have mustard on. And
nice.
If you caramelize my onions, I will gladly have those on my burger. If not, I don't want them. And of course,
no raw onions then.
Yeah, no raw onions, because there's that flavor that's pretty strong with them, but I really like how caramelized onions taste when they are mixed with stuff. If they're undercooked,
they're really
it just feels like you can kind of tell there's an onion in there, whereas if they're cooked, they blend very well with everything else surrounding them, and they add to the flavor of what's going on, rather than, okay, here's onion. Then we're back to the meat and onion. Then we're back to the meat. I don't know why. It feels like that when I eat an undercooked onion with a sandwich of any sort.
Yeah. Raw onions can be, like, if you put, like, it always bothers me when people put, like, a whole slab of, like, raw onion on their burger or sandwich as opposed to, like, just a couple rings. Because I'm like, all you're tasting is onion then. So I totally get where you're coming from.
And that used to be one of the reasons why I used to usually just want cheese with my burgers, which sometimes I will if I'm on the road because I don't want stuff to fall over everywhere. Right. And I used to be very picky growing up, and now I've gotten to where I'm way more open and appreciative of all sorts of different foods, to where I was like, you know what? I'm going to try that burger with tomato and lettuce and mayo and see how that goes, and with all the cheeses you have. And it was an amazing burger. I was like, why have I not been eating burgers like this before? And that tomato can really add to the experience. But if I were to have onion, like, I'd want it either caramelized or grilled. Like, it's got to be one of those two.
Ooh, yeah, grilled onions. Definitely a different vibe than caramelized, but, like, not still not, like, overpowering, like, a raw onion.
And then there's always, of course, the, how am I going to fit that in my mouth? Which, obviously, just smush it, but that's always that was another reason why I was so hesitant to do it back then. I was like, I don't know if I can eat all that. And you can. And actually, you might feel a bit better because of that tomato and the lettuce. But at least I feel like I'm
getting your veggies.
And the mayo adds flavor to it, too, in a very good way.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But I think one of the better burgers I've had was where it was all of that minus the onions, because I think they didn't have theirs grilled or caramelized over where this particular place was. But
they did
add in barbecue sauce and pulled pork underneath the patty.
Oh my gosh. That is literally what I ordered for my dinner on set the other day.
Holy shit.
Literally something just like that. It had pulled pork and caramelized onions, but they were on top of the patty, which was a different experience, I'm sure. Oy. Okay. I must know, because I was recently talking with my friends about this. What is your ideal, and I think there's like a food theory episode about this too. What is your ideal burger stack order of ingredients? Like, if you had the classic, like, barring any, like of the fancy schmancy special creative ingredients, like, if you're just going to, like, someone's, grilling out in the backyard, and you have, like, a bun, a patty, lettuce, tomato, cheese, and, I don't know, if you want to add another thing on there, you can. What is the order that you would put the ingredients on?
All right, so I would probably put mayo on both sides of the bun. And then I would have a burger that is topped with pepper jack cheese. And then I would have my caramelized or grilled onions, whichever is available. Mm-hmm. And my actually no, I may have that on top of my cheese. If it's caramelized onions where they're already, like, diced up, yeah, that probably might be better on top. But if it's at the bottom, then I would probably have my grilled onions in those really nice ringed fashions right underneath the patty, then my tomato, and then my lettuce, so that my lettuce can be coated in not only what's going on with the tomato, but also the mayo right under it.
Yes.
Because then at that point, lettuce. At that point, the top of my mouth can enjoy the burger very much, which that's usually where I feel like a lot of my flavor intake is happening the most quickly, is the top of my mouth rather than the bottom. So
interesting.
Which, funny enough, I kind of learned that while going through having COVID and having no sense of smell or taste for a very short amount of time.
Wow.
Which is a very weird experience, and I hope no one ever gets to go through with that. And if they have, I hope that's you're over it now. But it was such a weird experience having potato chips in my mouth, and it's like you can't even tell what's in there until you swallow it.
That's so strange.
It is.
I should actually ask. So, funny enough, I obviously love – I mean, I'm here. Hello. In part because I was so excited that you asked me to be on this, but also because I love talking about food. And my partner actually has, like, we don't know if it's anosmia, but like can't smell anything except for like occasionally garbage scent and like and funnel cakes, which is weird. Like, well, like very occasionally, like there was a street fair in our neighborhood a couple weeks ago and he was like, "Is that funnel cakes?" And I was like, "Yes." It was like it was like when someone's like dog learns to like walk again after like a surgery or something. I was like, "Yes, that's funnel cakes." So like I've always like been curious. I'm like, I wish I could experience that, because I like, I bet it would be just a wild experience in terms of like tasting things too. And you have had essentially that experience, which is nuts.
It's very weird, but when my dad decided to go grab some mozzarella stick, well, he went to get something at Sonic, and I told him not to go, but he went safely. It's like, "Don't do it. We got COVID. Don't do it."
Don't do it.
Yeah. I really don't think he did anything stupid over there, but he got me some mozzarella sticks, because I was just like, I would probably feel a bit happier having them. And my sense of taste came back as I ate them, and they were the most wonderful mozzarella sticks I've ever had in my life.
Oh, gosh, I can only imagine. Listen, honestly, shout out to Sonic for healing your taste buds.
Yes.
But seriously, though, that is like a wild experience to not have a sense of like smell or taste, but like also to like witness it coming back, not like waking up one day and be like, "Oh, everything's normal now," but like being like, "Oh, my gosh. Mozzarella sticks?
Yeah.
I've missed
with
you.
Marinara sauce."
Ooh. Wow. Honestly,
so I love
yeah,
I love
that's
those.
Amazing.
I love those mozzarella sticks. And while I was still recovering from it, one recipe that I really wanted to use to help myself out for that experience was the soup that I shared with you before we started this episode.
Oh.
That minestrone soup. So since we're basically getting closer and closer to the eventual cold weather, if any of you need a very good soup recipe to keep yourselves warm, minestrone soup is very easy and very delicious. I guess my quick takeaway on how to do it, if anyone's interested, now, you can use turkey beef if you want to, Kelsey, but I used ground beef. I think turkey beef would serve you well. But I just used almost 3 pounds worth of turkey beef, because this is going to be a soup that's meant to last a while. So you heat that up, you season it with salt, pepper, and Italian seasoning, and garlic. And as it starts to get to where it's getting much closer to being not pink anymore anywhere, add in some red wine and just add as much red wine as you feel like you would be comfortable with having in there. Cause it's just mainly to mix in with the fat juice and flavorize the beef in a very lovely way.
That sounds so good.
And then you get one of those spoons that has little holes in it. So that way you can just, and I know some people would probably prefer to just drain the meat afterwards, but what my mom and I like to do is we use that spoon to keep the fat and wine flavor that's been mixed in on all of the beef that we add in, so we don't lose any of it. And then once all the beef is out of the skillet we were cooking on the stove, and adding it to a big pot that has oil already in it, which at that point, have your heat at extremely low. So that way, once everything is in your pot, then you can bring it up to a boil and not have to worry about, "Oh no, I'm burning everything. I need to put all this in faster." No, don't worry about that. But you add all that in, and then you add in 2 diced tomato cans. I usually like to add in ones that already have basil, garlic, and oregano in those cans. But since I didn't have any, the place I went to today didn't have any of those available, I just got regular diced tomato cans and just added those seasonings to the entire soup, along with extra salt and pepper. But before adding those seasonings, you add in those diced tomato cans And if you can, get you 6 small Campbell's minestrone soup cans. I don't know how to make actual minestrone, but if you can get those cans, those will save you and make you very happy. And just scarf every inch of those into the pot. And then get you a 32-ounce container of beef broth and pour the whole sucker in the pot. And then you can stir with a stirring spoon and bring the whole thing up to a boil. And once it's really getting to where it's really boiling, then you could turn it down, cover it, and simmer for 30 minutes. And then after the 30 minutes have gone by, take it off the eye of your stove that's really warm and just put it in a spot that's not, doesn't have any heat on it, and just let it sit for about 5 minutes. And then you can eat the soup and feel both better and feel like your body is about to sweat. And if you have any sinus things that need to just come out, it will bring it out.
That sounds so good and so like comforting too.
It is. It is very comforting. And my mom likes to eat it with like one of those little teacups with these tiny soup spoons.
Yes, I love those.
It's actually really fun to eat it like that. So I do that every single time with minestrone soup. I'm never like that with my chicken taco soup, but I am like that with my minestrone. It just feels, it's the soup that is that good and that enjoyable to make that I am willing to have it a specific way.
Yeah.
So that's just really fun for me.
That's especially like the wine and beef combo sounds so good. And it sounds like it probably makes like, it sounds like it elevates the soup.
It kind of does.
Like it adds more acidity. And I can totally see what you mean with like the like sinus clearing and like comforting feeling vibes you get from it. That's awesome.
It is very, very, very good. And I actually, this happens every single time I have my first batch of minestrone soup. I usually have at least 2.5 cups worth of soup. Like I'll go back and refill my cup once and then I refill it halfway. And then I know I need to just put my cup and my spoon in the dishwasher. But then I catch myself just, I need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. And I do go for it and it never fails unless someone talks me out of it, which they never do. It's that good of a soup and it makes me feel good when I eat it. And I literally felt like number one, I wanted to have something healthier for right now, but I also wanted to make sure I had enough energy to do this episode because I was really tired all day and I now feel so damn good after having that soup. And plus you're just a wonderful person. So I'm glad I got to have you on the show. So that is where I'm going to ask you my big final question for the show. What is your favorite recipe?
Okay, so this kind of changes. Like, I feel like I never have one favorite recipe, but like the past, well, over like the intense quarantine part of COVID. In 2020, I like figured out how to make butter chicken that I was really proud of and that like scratched the butter chicken itch when I like couldn't get it from a restaurant. So honestly, it takes a while. Like, so, okay, the key to it is just like being super patient and being willing to like stand at the stove for like I don't even know how long it takes, because honestly I just like I'm like when anytime I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make butter chicken, I do it on a day where I have lots of time and I kind of feel like my dadima a little bit, because like she, when we were little and we would stay with her, she would just stand in the kitchen just cooking for like so long, but then all her food would be so good. So you gotta use chicken thighs. So you get chicken thighs day before you want to make it, and you make this like, you take just plain whole milk yogurt, And you mix that with garlic. I put so much garlic in my food, but like, so
good,
I'll do like,
for you.
Yeah, I'll do for the chicken marinade in particular, I'll do like 3 or 4 cloves of garlic. And then you do a squeeze of lemon juice and then a lot of garlic salt, a lot of cumin, coriander, and what else? Oh, garam masala for sure. And great fresh ginger in there. I feel like people don't think of butter chicken and think like, oh, ginger. But like, you actually need like a good amount of ginger. So that's your marinade. So butter chicken in restaurants is very often just like bright red or bright orange. And I think they might use like food coloring because mine always turns out like this like dark tan orange color.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but if you want more color like that, I've used like a little bit of smoked paprika.
I put
smoked paprika in like everything. I love it so much, but it also adds color to this.
I fucking appreciate you so much.
It's so good.
Smoked paprika must go on just about everything.
Literally, can't be like regular paprika is fine, but like smoked paprika. If you don't have smoked paprika and like that giant thing of like Lowry's garlic salt in your pantry, I don't know what you're doing.
Lowry's garlic salt is good. It is good. In fact, I've used that to spice up leftover chili before.
It's so good.
And it's very good.
So then you just let that sit overnight. You cut it up into, I don't know, as small pieces as you would like. I don't know. I'm not the chicken police. So then when you go to make the sauce, you do... Honestly, I don't have measurements. I just kind of do the thing. So I'll do like, depending on how much I want to make, you just heat up like a giant, like, not a saucepan. What is this pan called? I have like, it's like a cast iron. That's, you know, like it's not quite a saucepan, but it's not like a frying pan, whatever pan style that's called.
I'm trying to think of what it is, but it could be a cast iron type thing, or it could
skillet.
I don't know. My brain is
okay. There we go.
Yeah,
there we go. Okay.
So we technically got it with cast iron skillet.
We
like,
just
yeah,
took the
skillet,
scenic route.
Skillet.
It's fine. So you, so a lot of people will cook the chicken before they put it in the sauce, which is faster, but I'm like, let's get more flavor in there. So the sauce, I do like an 8 to 10 ounce can of tomato paste and like as much, I'll do, to make it a little healthier, I'll do like half and half. A lot of people are just like, no, straight heavy cream. And I'm like, no, thank you. That's too much. I don't want to have a stomach ache. I do half, half, and half like plant milk because that's just usually what I have. But if not, I'll just do like half, half, or half like just like 2% milk. And you also want to put some evaporated milk in there as well to like get a thicker consistency. So you stir that up. And once that is like just barely simmering, you put like, I put like 4 more cloves of garlic in there, and then I put more grated ginger, cumin, garam masala, garlic salt, more smoked paprika. What else? Coriander for sure. I also put crushed tomatoes in there to like up the volume of the sauce, but it also like adds texture.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And then you add like, I do like a tablespoon or two of ghee to make it like buttery, and then some cilantro.
Oh, what's ghee?
It is Indian clarified butter. You can buy it in like just jars from like a grocery store, and it's really good. I think it might be shelf stable. I always get nervous about like food spoilage. Hello, restaurant family. But like, So I keep it in the fridge, but I'm pretty sure it can be shelf stable. But then you've also got to put sugar in there. I use coconut sugar because it's more like toasty tasting. And what else? There's definitely more. Oh, I put like, I have like this special thing of like tandoori spices that my sister got me for Christmas. So I'll put that in there because again, it's more roasty tasting, which I like. So then once the sauce is like homogenized, you can put it in a food processor or blender to make it smooth, but I like the texture. So then you dump your overnight marinated chicken in the sauce and you just honestly stand at the stove. You turn up the heat a little bit and you stand at the stove just like with the skillet covered. But every like 2 minutes or so, you like take off the top and just like stir the chicken until you like cut one of the chicken pieces in half and it's like fully cooked, obviously. No salmonella. And then you make basmati rice. But you like cook it with a little olive oil in there, and then you just serve the chicken and sauce on top of it. So it's very labor intensive, but it's so good.
That is very delicious sounding, and even I know making birria tacos is very labor intensive, but it's ultimately worth it in the end. And I can see that being a similar experience in that way, though, especially since you have to start a day ahead.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately worth it in the end for an endeavor like that, especially with the results. And I kind of want to look up how it looks after we finish here, just to see what butter chicken like that looks like. That sounds absolutely delicious. And if I'm ever in Chicago, I may have to make a request
for
it.
I forgot to add also, I was like, what else am I missing? You need to add turmeric and curry powder. That is so vital and I completely forgot it. But But yes, I would be happy to make it.
And I could help you too.
Yeah.
That will, it makes a difference. When I was over in, we'll say Texas Kelsey's place so that we're not confusing the Kelseys.
Yeah.
So I was at Texas Kelsey's place. She helped me out with preparing the birria tacos there. And it made the whole initial process of slicing up the chilies and getting the seeds out and blending and getting everything else all situated so it all goes in the pot and heats up for a while. That was far more fun and far less stressful. Plus, she's a very cheerful and wonderful person, so I'm glad I got to do that with her in person.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, Jordan, were very enthusiastic of how they turned out. So I was like, yay, someone else likes my food.
That sounds like such a good time.
It really was. And I had such an amazing time with you tonight, Kelsey. Thank you so much. Chicago Kelsey, I shall say.
Yes.
Chicago Kelsey.
Kelsey Jaffer.
Kelsey
Here
Jaffer.
I am from Chicago.
Chicago.
Likewise. From Chicago.
From Chicago.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. I was like, I've just been looking forward to doing this. And I'm so happy that we're doing it. We're doing it. We talked about food and Ash Ketchum and talking to strangers in bathrooms. It's been just a blast. So thank you for having me.
You're most welcome, my friend. And for any of you out there who are just as happy as I am to have heard Kelsey talk for the last, gosh, has it been like an hour, 50 minutes, somewhere around there? It has been
Something like that.
An hour. So I'm sure all of you are like, where can we follow Kelsey if we haven't clicked Louvre down to the description box yet? Where can they follow you, my friend?
I am on Twitter as Kelatonin. It's just melatonin, but with a K. So that's K-E-L-A-T-O-N-I-N. And then on Instagram, I am To Kel a Mockingbird. it's such a, I want to be Kelatonin on everything, but some person who like has not posted in years is Kelatonin currently. So I'm like, someday when I'm relevant enough, I can be like, hey, can I pay you for your username? But for now, It's To Kill a Mockingbird. So that's at TOKELAMOCKINGBIRD. It is very long, but yeah.
It is very,
those are my things.
It is very long, but there are many wonderful pictures on there. So, if you want to follow me on Instagram, where I have wonderful food pictures and posters and sometimes videos of me acting silly while in the booth, you're welcome to follow me there on Instagram at TheVoiceThatCooks and on Twitter at VoiceThatCooks. Oh my goodness, we are 10 episodes into Voices That Cook, and this has been an extraordinary show so far. I've had so much fun, and I'm so glad that each episode so far has been great. And if the Joker were here right now, he would probably say, but I would like to think he would actually say, let's aim for 100.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe we could get to 100 episodes. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. I'm at least like, I hope we can get, well, I've got, including these 10 guests I've had already, I think my list is currently at like 36 right now as far as overall guests. But I'm sure it might grow because I've been so surprised that there's more people that have been, I have learned that are both voice actors and like to cook. So it's just been a very pleasant surprise going, oh, you cook too. Please come on the show.
A constant Spider-Man pointing at himself meme for you, I'm sure.
Could you imagine if I were Spider-Man?
Hey, never say never. I mean, you didn't.
That would be fun.
But now we're really not saying it.
Yes, yes. Now I'm not confirming anything. It's just, I am.
Did you break NDA just now?
How did I break NDA? thank you, Odysseus Claw, for protecting me there. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Now, if I were Spider-Man, what would I do? Well, Odysseus, you're a dragonborn, so I don't know if you'd have any spider abilities. Well, you don't really know that. I could shoot webs out of my clawed hands.
That's his breath weapon, is webs.
Oh, my breath weapon. I could shoot webs out of my mouth. Oh, gosh, you put fire on the microphone, Odysseus.
No.
Oh, no, I need to pat it down, I am so sorry. Odysseus, you're fine, just go have some soup, administrative soup. Okay, I will. It was lovely meeting you, Kelsey. You're very pretty, so I just wanted to say hello.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to meet you, too. And go enjoy that soup.
I will. Yeah, Odysseus, Odysseus is very much my most played character that I have played as, and he's been on, he's been my lead on One Shot's D&D Character Podcast, which as of this recording, we have not recorded the finale of season one yet. But by the time this episode airs, it definitely will be online. And in case any of you who have been listening to One Shot are somehow listening right now, I know I won't feel this entirely until probably after that session is over. But thank you. Thank you for being part of that season. Thank you for being part of that journey with Odysseus, and if none of you have listened to the show yet, I'll put that in the description as well for you to hear. And I guess really, if I were to have any more things to ask of you, my friend, is there any shows or anything you'd want to plug that you are a part of?
None. Just me that I can say right now, but I do want to plug something that we're both part of. Batman Athenaeum.
Yes.
Just got its own Twitter account.
Yes.
So Batman Athenaeum is an incredible, like, I don't even want to say like Batman fan audio drama, because it's so much more than that. It's like an anthology. Lucia Lobos Villa and like so many other people like put their heads together and create like looked at every Batman thing ever and created like this storyline that encompasses essentially everything that happens in Batman, and all the characters at some point, I'm sure, will show up. And it's the first episode is out. I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's out publicly yet.
Okay.
But the streamed
read-throughs, all of those are out. And you play Talia al Ghul, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. I've only been in two episodes thus far, but like it has been such an honor to get to hear you and get to hear everyone else like be so freaking talented. And guys, I cannot wait for you guys to hear the official recorded episodes. We have heard episode one.
I have to.
And yes, it is. I cried. Like, literally, I turned my mic off during the stream and I just, like, cried. It was so good. So please follow. I think it's just at Batman Athenaeum on Twitter.
I'll have it in the description.
Okay.
But yeah, do try to spell it out because it's an interesting word.
Okay. So it's at Batman and then Athenaeum.
There you go.
Boom. Yeah, there are so many cool things to come, and so many amazing people are involved, including Sir William. So,
follow
them. Stay tuned. Yeah,
I was Roland Daggett in episode 17, and I actually had Lucia on the show two episodes ago.
No way! Oh, that's so exciting! I can't wait to hear her episode.
Yes, that was a very fun one. We talk a lot about Batman in that episode, so I am very certain you will appreciate that. This will be my last question, and you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but
all right.
I have not heard your performance yet as Talia. Could I hear how she sounds?
It's honestly not too different from my speaking voice, which is odd. And I was like, whoa, you guys want to hear that? But it is like a little bit higher than my own speaking voice, and I have a British accent. So she's very sassy, and Talia sounds a little like this. This is Talia. I am Talia al Ghul. I don't want to accidentally say anything that could ruin a plot detail for you, but yes, this is me, Talia al Ghul.
Very lovely. And I think my Roland Daggett went something along the lines of...
Yeah, do it.
Mr. Wayne, if I were to do anything else involving helping you, well, you could say fuck you instead.
Bravo.
And for all of you out there who are still listening to us, thank you so much. And if you're listening to this on a podcast app that allows you to review the show, please leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. Follow it on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss the next one. And of course, thank you all for listening and for enjoying what we're doing. And I hope you all get to come back and hear the next episode. I have a very special guest in mind for that one, too, and I really don't think y'all want to miss that one. So, with all that being said, I'm sure some of y'all are hungry, some of y'all are excited, some of y'all want to hear Batman how do you pronounce that word?
Athenaeum.
It's either Athenaeum or Athenaeum. It's one of those two, I'm willing to say. Lucia jokes about that quite well. It's like it's meant to be hard, but there is a certain definition for the word, which is like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense why that word is part of it. But yes, do feel free to check out that show and all the stuff that we've talked about. And if you decide to make your own recipes based on what we talked about, please share those with us. Share photos and let us know how they turned out, and we'd love to see them.
Yes, please share. And
of course.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you all for listening.
Of course. Thank you, Kelsey. And until next time on Voices That Cook, I guess good night, good day, whenever you're listening. Bye-bye.
Good day, sir.
I said good day!